to the teacher. Episode number 10. No time for music. Strictly a cappella for episode number 10. A little tech note. Man, if you guys want a cool recording program, the only thing I use for this podcast is Audacity. A lot of you may know what it is, but if you go online, it's a free download. And I have my second graders use it to record themselves reading stories, and then we put together PowerPoints and stuff. That's before I found out about the real e-book thing from last episode. But if you don't have Audacity and you don't feel comfortable maybe with recording or chopping up sounds and stuff, it is awesome and it's easy and it's free. So check it out. I just, for that intro, to record myself and just kept and then I had another track. Did the whole thing. It took me a minute to do. And it's so cool because it has a track for each thing that you record. I actually don't know how many tracks I could have. I could probably have a couple hundred before it started freezing up. But if you don't know about Audacity, check it out. It's cool. Kimmy's back with another challenge of the week. Last week, the worksheet question. Do you get referred to worksheets? The voting, not so hot this week. I guess people think it's okay to be more interested in teaching the youth of America or worried about the economic problem. Where are your priorities, people? We got to vote. I understand. 3 votes total. And the winner was, yep, usually when you get advice from another teacher, it's usually, here's a worksheet you could do with them. But his new challenge of the week this week is, hits home with me. I'm in Arizona, and this is something that I think about frequently, and I'm glad he called about it. And let's see what you think. Check it out.
This is Stephen Kimmy out in Salina, Kansas again, 5th grade teacher. And I got a new challenge of the week, or challenge of the episode, or whatever. I got a new student this week, and he is Hispanic. And he has a very common Hispanic last name. And so I was taking him to one of our specials, and his very first day, and I tell the specials teacher about him, and they said, they asked me, does he speak English? And I thought that was really, well, I had mixed feelings about that question. But I thought it was kind of odd, because as he walked in the classroom earlier that morning, just getting introduced to him for the first time, my question was actually the complete opposite, was, does he speak Spanish? So that's, I thought that would be a good challenge of the week, actually challenge of the school year. At my school, we have about 30-40% Hispanic students. And so instead of just assuming that they're Hispanic and they must speak Spanish and questioning whether or not they speak English, I think that's a big stereotype. I would challenge you to not ask that question when you get one of a new Hispanic student, or a student of any sort. Don't ask them if they speak English. Ask them if they speak Spanish, because there's a large group of Hispanic students who don't speak Spanish. And we're just fostering some generalization there that shouldn't be. So there's your challenge of the week. Teach on.
Now, I think that, first of all, I have no idea what you just said there, Kimmy. Duchamp, please respond with a comment and clarify what in the world you're saying. But being in Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, California especially, not that there aren't Hispanics in other places of the country, but it's magnified here, and I just love it, but it certainly is such a interesting topic when you start getting into it. We have a huge EOL thing here. new laws that were just passed, and it's just crazy, man. And it's just something that I think about all the time. And the school I grew up in was 60% Hispanic, and so I grew up with a lot of Hispanic friends. A lot of them spoke pretty broken English, and some of them had no idea how to speak Spanish. So it is a very interesting topic to dive into. So we'll throw up a poll for that. I'm just kind of winging this episode, so I don't totally know what the poll is going to be. But check out the teacherslifeblog.blogspot.com. And like I said, come and vote, would you? It will have something to do with this challenge of the week, or challenge of the year, or challenge of the career. That may be better. The littles this week are discussing the internet.
Do you know what the internet is?
Yes.
What is it? What, do you know what it is? What is it?
It's a type of technology thing that can help send feel-good emails so you don't have to walk to anyone's house or put it in a mail and pay.
Wait.
You could just send it through the internet stuff and it'll pop up on someone's screen that you're
sending
it to.
How does it work, though? Like, I don't get it. Like, if I have a sheet of paper that I don't want somebody to see, what...
You have to get a scanner, connect it to your computer, like a laptop, then you put your paper in, but there you have to put the your name in first and put it by the...
When you scan it, like you scan it in your computer, and then you want to like email it to somebody, how does it work though?
Okay, this is what you do. You connect the printer into the side of the computer. Then this thing will pop up on your screen.
I know how to scan it in there. I'm wondering, okay, I have it on my computer, and now like I want to email it to my mom. I know how to send an email, but how does it work? I don't get it.
You have to send. It's like you go to you. If you have a paper that you wrote for a scanner, you can put it in the scanner.
No. I know how it works. I know how to scan something, right? But how do you? Okay, and when I press send, like on the email, like I attach it on the email and I press send, and then it says, okay, message is sent. How does it get to my mom?
It goes through a really fast internet computer thing that goes high-speed internet.
What is high-speed internet?
It's just a thing that controls...
It's a little program that'll make your email send to somebody in New York or any place like that.
But this is what it does. The computer has a lot of wires in it.
Okay.
So the wires connect to electricity.
Okay.
And the electricity can take it and then zap it all the way to somewhere. Because there's a bunch of stuff. Because there's an internet glow thing that has a big thing in it.
It's all worldwide.
Anywhere.
Internet glow thing? What do you mean? Like, the internet glow thing? Like.
Okay. In the middle, it's connected to a... It's all the electricity in your computer.
Right.
Is connected, but not with wires. It's connected with electricity. It transports all the way to the world... wide globe center that has all the technology and sends emails to anywhere you send them. It goes into the email, scans it, since it's electricity, goes into the right portal, and then it pops up on the
I got you. Now, what about this? Have you
like
ever seen...
Like a world wireless globe.
Right. So, have you ever heard of, like, chatting online?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, you can chat back and forth with somebody?
Yeah,
how does that work? Like, I know I type something into my computer, and they type it in, and but how can we talk to each other?
Wait, let's see.
Go ahead. What do you think?
You could just write a note and then send it to them. You could, like...
Yeah, but how does it send to somebody?
It can send faster than light transmission. By a worldwide globe.
That's my favorite part right there. Light transmission. Thought. The worldwide globe. But... amazing. The one thing, I originally did not want to teach younger kids. The lowest I wanted to go was fourth. Anything lower, not a chance. But I needed a job, and they gave me a second grade offer, and I said, man, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to take it, though. Let's roll. And I absolutely adore that age group now. But the one thing, if I had to write a book, it would be how shocked I am with what they know about technology. I thought I'd be holding their hands the whole time in the computer lab. I thought there was no chance that they could scan things in, and it's just amazing. But the problem is, let me tell you, Nation, I can't go to my district with this. Or I could, but I'd probably get ignored. But everything is blocked on our servers. I don't even know if other schools are like this. I know Teacher Man, he was on here earlier, in the early days of the teacher's life, but he's doing a wiki with his kids. I know people that do blogs, podcasts, of course. I guess I'm kind of doing a podcast including the kids, but I'm not doing it with them. They're not getting anything out of it. They don't know what they're talking to. They just think I'm just recording for fun, I guess, but it's just amazing how hard it is for me. I can't have e-pals, you know, and everything. And I understand, people. I understand it's a safety issue, and I respect that wholeheartedly, keeping our kids safe from weirdos out there or being exposed to something maybe they shouldn't be. But there are ways to protect our kids, especially I did e-pals, and nobody knew I did it, and I did it anyways, and everything went through me. Nothing could be sent to them or from them without me clicking OK and checking it out. So I had complete control, and I believe it's like that with wikis. Correct me if I'm wrong. And podcasting, you know, like, so two questions for you. If you go to our page, there's little comments. I would love some comments on this. A, do you have blocked stuff like this as much as I do? B, do you understand, and not only that, do you support all of this blockage? Now, remember, I understand the reason for this, but I just think it's such an important tool. All these tools that we are using, that I'm sitting here podcasting and all these people are listening to all over the world, I need to get my kids into that. And they're 7, but I don't care. There's so many things you could teach them about safety, about putting personal information out there, and it feels like I don't even talk about that. Like, it doesn't even exist in school, in my school. So that's me ranting, and I'll stop. I would love some comments about what you think about that topic, if you think I'm wrong, or if you are in the same exact situation. So I would love to hear that. Kimmy's back with the story of the day, and this is also this guy. We got to start working together because we think a lot alike on some things, everything. And this is another thing that he teaches fifth grade, and that's what I was, and I still think I am deep down inside. But read alouds to me, I did not feel comfortable doing, right? And I didn't totally understand. You know, I was naive. I still was learning. I didn't truly understand the benefits of it. And then I taught second grade. And not that you can only do read-alouds in primary grades, but it is a huge staple in your instruction. And not only is it the best part of my day, the most enjoyable, but the impact and implications of this are just amazing to me, especially being a male reading to them. I feel like Pam Allen was talking about in the episode earlier, the last interview, I feel like I'm having a huge impact just showing them that I'm reading and enjoying it. Anyways, that's getting a little sidetracked. Here's Kimmy with story of the day.
Hello, Teachers Life Nation. This is Stephen Kimmy, a fifth grade teacher out in Salina, Kansas. Again, adding on to my last comment about social studies, as we took our final vote to see what things we were going to be studying this year, or at least partially this year, it was an overall winner with the Seven Wonders of the World. All the students, every class, I do three classes, they all wanted to know about the Seven Wonders of the World. And so I had to ask. I just couldn't figure out why this would be. And so I started talking to him about it, and it turns out that last year, while these students were in fourth grade, one of the fourth grade teachers read aloud to a good majority of the group, read aloud to them from a book called The Seven Wonders of Sassafras Springs. And I'm not exactly sure who wrote that right now, because I'm driving across town to pick up my kids from daycare. But that's a book I actually read aloud to my fifth graders as well. It's a great book. You should check it out if you haven't. Again, Seven Wonders of Sassafras Springs. And it turns out they were so intrigued by the seven wonders that the main character of that book discovers that they wanted to know what were the real seven wonders of the world. And so I just kind of thought that was a touching story that, you know, read-alouds, at least for me, read-alouds, I'm not real big on them, and I think I just always have this feeling that students aren't paying attention and they're messing around. But here was some great evidence that, you know, when you do read aloud, students do pay attention whether they look like it or not. And it does make a difference, and it does play out in the future of what they want to learn. So, there's your touching story of the day. Thanks.
Touching indeed. I love read-alouds. And, Kimmy, I hope you keep doing them, man. And I feel you with, you feel like kids aren't paying attention. But you just got to pick the right book, I think, at the right time, the right topic. And they'll listen. And one thing I wanted to throw out to the nation while we're on the topic of read-alouds, my fiance, first grade teacher, me, second grade teacher, we butt heads on this like crazy, okay? And I think most of you are going to support her, but I'm throwing this out. Check it out. So we have a document camera, right? I just got one last year. It's changed the way I'm teaching, right? If you don't have a document camera, you are missing out. Right, so I have this document camera, and the biggest thing for me is that during reading, I want to use big books, but big books are crazy expensive, and it just feels like they take up so much room, and they're hard to come by. Now, I understand how great it is to have a big book there, but something that I started trying with the projector, and it just blew up into this thing that I did a lot of the time, is that I just would take a book and I just read it aloud on the big screen, projecting on the whiteboard, and all the kids would follow. Now, fiance says that the kids need to see you reading the book. It needs to be, you know, more natural than that. And I understand we've had many a heated debate about this, but I feel that the kids following along with the word, when they're sitting on the floor, they can't follow along with the words, or especially like maybe in the older grades, you sit at your desk and you read it, they can't see the words, right? Torn, okay? I understand the benefits of them sitting there and listening and not being able to see it and having to comprehend through listening, but I also think that having the words blown up in front of them and all the beautiful pictures in color that they can see and they follow my finger along. And I even have this thing where I'll make a mistake once in a while just to see if they're paying attention. And they are allowed to shout out the correct thing. And we keep a track of how many times I can trick them and stuff. So that kind of keeps them interested in reading along. And I think it's just amazing for me. But some of you may disagree. Shoot a comment over to me. I would love to hear whether or not you think I'm onto something. Or whether or not maybe I need to go back to the other thing. Or maybe I need to just balance it out. And please tell me why you think that, because this is something that I'm actually struggling with. So, and by the way, I just read The True Story of the Three Little Pigs today. Blew their minds. They loved it. Didn't catch some of the sarcasm. A little. They're little. Hence the littles. But, yeah, that's a fun read aloud. And I guess that's it. I actually have another tech tip of the day that I've tried and I think is really cool with this document camera. I also have a video camera, right? This is my own personal camera that I bring into class, but our team has a camera too. But the cool thing is my camera has the little thing that pops out to the side, the little view lens thing, and you can flip it, you know, and rotate it, so you can actually have it like facing up. So what I was thinking is that whenever I want to really single out some kids for doing a great job, or not even just that, but just like overall structure of things, or get good conversations in small groups or whatever, that I can record that, and then I can put it under the document camera very easily and just flip the screen and just press play there, and it's like a big movie on the board. And we listen to it, and we talk about things that are going great. We talk about, oh, listen to that conversation. But it beats having to plug everything in, change the input, whatever you got to do. This, you just turn on the document camera, take the camera, flip the thing, and then press play. And they can hear it, and they can see it, and we can pause it, and we can talk about what's going on in class or whatever. So also, some feedback on that would be great. So a lot of stuff going on in this episode. Lots of chances to come and comment on things. A little comment box under the episodes on, and you could do it through the blog or through the pod page. And so just throwing it out there. See if anybody wants to get involved with some ideas. And so that's it. And you guys have a good weekend. I am 2 weeks away from getting married. I just sat in the court, right, getting a marriage license. I was expecting this grand thing. And I walk into the court. First person that greets me is this guy, really mad on the phone, cursing up a storm, pacing back and forth. My path went from straight to let's go off over to the side a little bit, and then into the thing. I got searched in the court. Went into the place, sat in line for like 2 hours with my fiance. But we got the thing. It looks official. We just need a couple signatures, a couple witnesses, and we will be official. So, things are going to be crazy the next couple weeks. So, and by the way, people, my lawn is still not cut. Nobody commented back with lawnmower tips or even an offering to come and cut my lawn for me. I don't know. Just, I would like some sympathy from y'all. Anyways, you guys have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.